All right, well, welcome. That was really loud wherever you're listening. I'm sorry, I'm excited a little bit. I'm so thankful you are here. We're so thankful you're here at the Vine TV. We're celebrating 5 years of the Vine TV, God's faithfulness. We've seen so many things. I don't know about you today. Many of us aren't feeling well. Many of us are sick. Many of us have all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But you know what? We're going to give God the glory, right? For those of you who aren't here today, we miss your smiling face. We miss everything that you aren't here. We hope that you get to be here very, very soon. If you're sick, we hope that you are feeling well. And if you are going to get your wisdom teeth out tomorrow, we are praying for God's deliverance and guidance. And no dry sockets. Tough crowd. Anyway, we're so excited. We're thankful for that. So we're so thankful for each and every one of you and that we get to be here today. Thank you. I want to say before we get going, we celebrate God's faithfulness and... You'll hear me a lot say this, and I just want to be honest with you. It's God. It's God's faithfulness. We talked about this at praying a little bit earlier. Alex was leading us in that, and we talked about this today. The reason you're going to hear me many times say only Jesus is because, honestly, it's only Jesus. I want to tell you right now, I mean, when you would look, if you talk about stranger stories, the Vine TV is probably the strangest story of it all when it comes to a church. You have a pastor who doesn't have kids, who is not married, who does not have a degree, a theological degree, he doesn't have a seminary degree, didn't go to seminary, just walked in obedience and said, God, what would you have us do? And this is everyone that's part of our Vine fam has done that. So when I talk about strange stories, when we talk about strange stories, know that that's what Jesus works through. It's not our credentials. In the end, as we talked about, what are we leaving behind? What in the world are we trying to do? Are we trying to make sure our legacy lives on? Or are we going to point to Jesus? And that's all this church is about. If you think that it's about our name and shining lights, if you think it's about, if I'm out here, I'm not selling books. If God makes me write one, bless everyone who buys it, because honestly, it'll probably have one word in it. And it'll be start and end. That probably will be what the two are, is what we would do there if I ever wrote one. But I'm thankful that Jesus lets us get to do here. All of us, if you don't know this, we share this all the time, but I'll be honest with you. All of us volunteer here. Nobody's here trying to get a salary. Nobody's here doing this. We just literally come into a gym every Saturday night and say, Jesus, if you don't show up, this ain't happening. And on Sunday morning, it happens. And so I'm thankful for each and every sower at the Vine, each and every part of our Vine fam, because I will tell you, I'm a better follower of Jesus because of you. Sometimes the reason I try to stay humble is so many times it is easy to get wrapped up in yourself. It is very easy to think it's all about you. It's very easy to think that if you aren't the most important thing there or if you aren't there, that it won't go on. But Jesus reminds us constantly that he is in control. And so that's why we're celebrating year five. So when I give you that, I say, humbleness, we're ready to go. But I better hear some shouts because it is only Jesus. Because since we've launched in 2017, we've seen 18 salvations at the Vine. I will tell you this, 18 people have crossed from death to life. And here's the cool part about it. If you're part of those 18, we'd love for you to be here because you know what? In the end, maybe you're watching around the world, maybe you're in the house. When we celebrate those 18, when I say be here, we want you to be in the local church around the world. Whether I see your smiling face 100% or not, we want you to grow in the Lord and take your next step in him, which we can celebrate. Next is four baptisms. We've seen four baptisms here. And here's the thing. Maybe you haven't been baptized. Maybe you haven't got dunked in the pool. Maybe you don't know what that means, and we would love to do that. Maybe you have questions. Shoot us a message. When it comes to that, we would love to celebrate that with you. We celebrate it every week. We talk about time, talent, treasure. You're going to hear more about that here in just a second. But here at the Vine TV, over $196,000 have gone to global missions. And here's the reason why I say it's the strangest story of it all. Is you got a church here that didn't try to start a capital campaign. We don't have a thermometer. I'm not, you'll, as long as there's a breath in me, you're not going to see that. That's just not how I roll. It just is. If I come in here and we have a capital campaign, I'm going to be dressed like the Joker, like in Batman, the real Batman, when he says, who loves you, money, 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 and Batman comes, you know who I'm talking about, Jack Nicholson, best Joker ever, don't even play with me. So, wherever you are, that's the one you're going to see, and we'll have the money drop down like that, and then the laughing gas go all the way through. So, we celebrate that, because here's the thing, you're going to see us living this out is, it's Jesus's, it's his church growing. You're going to find out today, and I'll wrap it up today when it comes to that, but you're going to find the best way to live your life today is to give it all away. And that's why we as a church do that, because it's not ours, it's Jesus. We've celebrated three baby dedications. Three baby daddy. Yeah, three. More on the way. Praise Jesus. Not for me. If we do, then y'all need to go ahead and put me in church discipline if that happened, and I expect you to do so. So three baby dedications. We're excited about that. We celebrated Christmas Eve. It's been crazy awesome. So we not only think Christmas Eve is special, but Christmas Eve is special. We get in there. We get the pregame of Christmas Eve. So we're going to continue to celebrate that. We got to host the Hope Tour this past year with Hope Rising Ministries. Looking forward to doing that even more, because here's the thing. It was just a starting point. We tried to figure that out. We had garage doors. There was no AC on night one, y'all, and we still had fun. We sweated better than, what's his name, used to do sweating to the oldies. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I ain't going to put it out there. They'll probably cut us off. But wherever that, Richard Simmons, there you go. I was thinking that, or I'm thinking of Nutty Professor. Yes, I can. Wherever you are, you know. We celebrated that. All the way through, we got to celebrate Christmas Eve. And here's what I want to tell you, and we're going to celebrate today. And I want to remind you of this. We know that in Christ, the best is always still yet to come. The best is still yet to come, and this is why. We're still here. If we were with him right now, we would still be living out the best is still yet to come, because we'd be in heaven. You come visit me, I'll be in the Kudzu Mansion on the hill. The taxi driver will go into the mansion. You missed that joke last week. Too bad. Go watch it. Wherever you are, that's where we'll get to be. But the reason that we know the best is yet to come is because we follow what Jesus is calling us to do. And so today, I'm excited. Throughout this series, we take a space as a family to hear from our sowers. And so many times, you may be intimidated by your story. You may think your story is too strange, your story is too outlandish, that God can't work through you. And I would just say, look at me. If he can work through me, he can work through anybody. And so that's why we celebrate this at the Vine. So today, we're going to hear from Ruby Cromer, something she's never shared here, at least, out loud. So if you want to go ahead, get your notes out, get your notes ready, you can be in the Vine Church app. Go ahead and get your cameras ready so that way you can blackmail her later, what she's about to share all the way through. I'm excited for her, because what we're going to talk about and learn through with Ruby's story today is this thing called the blessed life. So will you watch this story with us? We'll come back at the end and wrap it up. Well, Ruby, we just want to, we thank you for the second time that you've been able to share your story. For those who missed the first time, would you share how you met Jesus and what your salvation story is before we get into how you have lived the blessed life?
Well, between 17 and 18, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believed that God sent his perfect son to live and to die a hard death on the cross, that his blood would wash away our sins. I believed with all my heart and soul that on the third day he left that tomb and ascended back up to the right hand of God. And I believed that in accepting this gift, because that's the big thing. Believing it's one thing. Accepting the gift is quite another. And so in accepting this gift, I knew that I was saved. I knew that one day my eternity would begin in heaven. And all of that was clear to me, but there's a lot that wasn't clear. And so, as I have gotten older, I've had the great blessing of being able to listen to incredible speakers and dig to learn more. The hunger, I guess. In the last 10 years or so, I've just been very hungry to know all there is to know, and I never will. But when I come into this church every Sunday, I'm surrounded by family, by community. I'm surrounded by people who love God just like I do. And so the welcome will typically touch on the fact that we all, it's really quite something to know that there's probably nobody in our congregation who doesn't give of their time, their talent, or their treasures. But a couple of weeks ago, I was enjoying the worship service, and we do have an incredible, incredible team. I looked over, and the church children, they attend the worship service, and then they go back to find kids. But they range in age 3 to 6. These are little kids, and several of them have parents who participate in the worship team, and to look over there and see these children singing these songs. They've heard their parents practice. They've learned the songs, but dancing and throwing their heads back and at the end clapping. These children bring as much to our gathering every Sunday as anyone, because they know how to worship. And what a smile they're going to put on everyone's face. But the time, the talent, the treasure. I grew up in church. I can tell you all about religion. And I gravitate a little bit towards the idea of obedience. Are we obedient because there's punishment if we're not? We're told about the commandments. We know the laws. We know the rules. So are we obedient because we're afraid not to be? What are the consequences? Well, certainly, bad decisions are followed by bad consequences. That doesn't have a heck of a lot to do with Christianity or religion, either one. It's a common sense thing. But are we obedient because we're afraid not to be? Or, as Christians, are we obedient because God will bless us if we're obedient? I think it's that we're obedient because we love Him. He loved us first. He loved us before we knew Him. And He is love. And so I wanted to preface, before I got into my story, that I believe that the root of my desire to be obedient is my love for God. I will never be able to love Him as much as He loves me, but I can try. And so, about 10 years ago, a very good friend of mine began nagging. No, this was 11 years ago. Began nagging me about coming to this church that she really loved. And I had been out of church for a very long time. I did attend from time to time, and I understood tithing. So if I was attending a church, I was writing a check for my tithes. There was one church, actually, that I continued to tithe to week in and week out, and I hadn't attended in 2 years. But I understand tithing. And there's a lot in the Bible about tithing, first fruits, that first 10%. It's all God's. So you give Him His 10% back first, and then He blesses the other 90%. And I can tell you, over the course of my life, if I was tithing, I was fine. I'm not saying things weren't tight sometimes, but I will say this, I was always fine. But at any rate, coming back to my story. So I start attending with my friend, and I fell in love with this church. I just fell in love with this church. I really began to fall in love with God. I was learning about Him. I was in awe. Everything that I was learning about Him. And so I I began to kind of listen to my heart. And so one Sunday, the pastor spoke about getting involved in serving. What does that even mean? I had never attended a church where there were volunteers serving, but God said, do it. And so I did. And the next thing you know, I was a full-fledged volunteer I went for about 5 years, so I'm going to say 4.5 years or so. And that's where I met our pastor, Tyler. But moving along, this church was growing, and we were meeting in a hotel downtown, you remember, and there were 3 services. Well, then, as a congregation, we were being asked, is there any way that those of you who like to attend the earlier services might be able to go in the evening so that there'll be room? There were chairs set up outside the auditorium around widescreen TVs all over the place. There was nowhere else for people to sit. And so I jumped right in there. I went to the evening service and I served with the evening volunteers. And if that wasn't enough, we started doing a 4th service. We had been doing 3. We added a 4th. And then we added a 5th. So what does a church do when it's out of chairs and out of hours? Well, we had to find a facility, and we were already probably in the biggest space available in Spartanburg that we could have every Sunday. And so we, as a congregation, were asked to help out. And the idea of doing pledges was presented. And it was a situation where we were told for months, probably, I think, be praying about it. And then the Sunday before we were to turn in our pledges, we were treated to this great speaker, and I'm just going to reach over here and get this book. Because this book, The Blessed Life, changed my life. But it's a fascinating read. I gobbled it up in about 3 days. I literally could not put it down. But the stories Robert Morris told us that Sunday, and he is an incredible, he pastors Gateway Church. He's wonderful to listen to, and you actually can catch him on TBN 5 days a week in the mornings. But that said, I had never heard of him. He told us stories that I just couldn't believe. And then he finished up and he said, I understand that your church is looking to purchase property. And I think at that point we may have found property. Is that the case? Needed renovation, and that costs money. That it costs money. And so we were going to be asked to pledge some help. And so I had started praying about it. I love God. I wanted to be obedient. And of course, I wanted to do all that I could. But I'm going to sidetrack here for a minute. This came at a point in my life that this was in 2013-14, if I'm remembering right. Well, in 2008, the stock market crashed. And I own a staffing company. That's how I earn my living. And whenever there's a problem in the economy, let me tell you, the staffing company's tail gets kicked first. And this particular devastation wiped out 1 in 3 staffing companies nationwide. So our company went from having 350 employees out in the field working for us to 88. With 88 employees, I could not even pay our staff. We were completely financed, which from the day we opened 26 years ago, at that point, that would have been about 12 years previous. Even my paycheck was handled by a loan. And so, fast forward, a larger company had kind of had their eye on us for about 3 years, actually. And so I appealed to them. I told them I'm probably going to be closing my doors. And so they took us in, literally, like a sister might take in a brother. And 3 years later, we began to get our feet under us again. And the thing of it was, our hero was actually not our hero at all. And I escaped that situation with the help of my CPA, who had been my CPA for 12, 13 years at that point, a godly, beautiful man. And so, God and Eddie Brown got us out of the clutches, if you will. And so in 2012, we were back in our own space. We were just us again, and it was good. It wasn't easy, but it was good. And so, what was going on with our church was, I think, probably like the following year. So we had been back single again. We weren't married anymore. And we were struggling. Not as bad as we had been. You know, we were breaking even. But after you've been through something as devastating as literally the first 16 years of our existence, it was always devastating. It was always scary. You never could take anything for granted. And so here we were getting our feet up under ourselves again. And I had started attending this church. And now prior to that, I think this might be kind of important. When I had to move in with the heroes, I lost office property. I lost rental property. I would have lost my home, but for a cool thing that I'm just going to credit God with. My credit score was 415. Now, to some of you, that may be impressive. It's not impressive when you go to buy a car and you get saddled with a 29.99% interest rate when a $20,000 car has to be financed for 7 years. That's the shape I was in. Right before I started attending this church, like I said, we were getting our feet back under us, but we weren't well. We were surviving, and I was proud of that. We were surviving. And so, fast forward, the pledge cards have been introduced. We've been asked to pray about what we are confident to pledge. And here's one thing I knew. I wanted to do as much as I could do, but I couldn't make a pledge to God and then welch on it. So I was being very careful. And And this number, it just kept popping into my head, 64. Now, that's not my lucky number. It isn't my street address. It's just 64. 64 kept popping into my head. And so I said, okay, that's it. I'm praying about it. God is saying 64. I knew God was saying it. And I thought, $64 a month, I can handle that. Because, of course, I'm tithing. I've always tithed. So I'm thinking $64 a month. And I actually wanted to tell you what that comes to. Tyler, do you see it? I actually had that number down. Here it is. We were going to have 28 months from the day that we signed our pledge card. And so $64 a month is $3,712. 64 sounded right, but 3,712 did not. So I thought about it and I said, a week. I guess God means $64 a week. Now, I'm making about $800 a week at this point. I have a house payment. I have a really high car payment because my interest rate was so high. I've got my bills. And so, but no, if God wants me to write down $64 a week, I am pledging then $7,680. Over the course of 2 years, that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's $64 a week. And that didn't sound right. And so I'm saying, okay, God, 64? And there's a voice inside of me saying, yeah, 64. And so I say, $64 a day? What? What do you want me to pledge? And so here I am. Can I do, where's the total on $64 a day? I did write it down, didn't I? It's $54,760. That's how much I was making in a year and a half at this point. It's what's that, 18 months of salary for me that I'm going to pay, that I'm going to pledge over the course of the next 2 years. And God is saying, no, no, 64, add zeros, 64,000? Yes. Yes. God is saying, Tyler, he's saying, that's 64,000. Do 64,000. Again, you don't make a promise to God and welch on it. God is saying 64,000. That's almost everything I'm going to make over the next 2 years, assuming our business continues to survive enough to loan me my paycheck every week. Okay. So I showed up at church the next Sunday. I was presented with my pledge card and a pen, and I wrote it. I wrote $64,000. I signed it. I pledged to pay $64,000 over the next 2 years and 4 months. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I was calm. I was calm about it. So, I did think for a minute, probably as I was driving to church that day, now was this Satan talking to me? Is this Satan's voice I hear telling me, promise $64,000? And I'm saying to God, you know, if this is Satan's voice, please speak to me, because I'm gonna walk in here and pledge $64,000. Now, I know I painstakingly took you through some numbers here, but I wanted you to appreciate I didn't have $64,000, and I wasn't going to save up $64,000 over the next 2.5 years. But if God put me up to robbing a bank, whatever, I was going to do it. Or maybe there were lottery tickets. I'm doing it. I just don't know how. So, 2 weeks went by. And a very good friend of mine that I had known the whole time I've been in the staffing industry. I talked to her a time or two a year. And our conversations were always 3 or 4 hours. But I didn't see her a lot. I wasn't even keeping up really with what was going on. But now it's been 2 weeks. Don't forget that. It's been 2 weeks since I signed my pledge card. And she calls me up and she says, Ruby, I need to talk to you about something. And I say to her, well, do you want me to come by? Is tomorrow morning good? Because it sounded important. She was a friend. She had something on her mind. So I went over and I would tell you her name, but she would not like that. But anyway, we talked for a few minutes. I met an employee there that she thought the world of, and she sent the employee to get some lunch. I will never forget. As soon as that door closed behind Mary, I can say her name, Mary. My friend, I started to say her name. My friend pulled out a contract, and she had it laying in front of her, and she said, Ruby, I want to give you my business. Yeah, that's exactly what my face looked like. Want me to tell you about her business? Been around longer, way longer than I had been in staffing. Successful, great business. She was very highly respected. Her business was highly respected. And she said to me, I've had illness in my family. It has taken a lot of time away from work. I've also gotten into some consulting work, which has become a real passion for me. And I want to give you my business. Now, there's a contingency, and that is Mary, who she just sent us to fetch lunch, or sent her to fetch lunch for us. Out comes the contract. This is the contract that she has with Mary. This is what she pays Mary. This is what I've got to agree to. I got to hire Mary, and this is how much I've got to pay her. And as long as I'm good with that, she could have this transitioned over in 3 weeks. And so, yes, that's what I said. Yes. And 3 weeks later, Mary came to work for me and brought a real good book of business with her and maintained it. I mean, it's more amazing than I can share with you. I would guess that over the course of the next 3 months, the revenues generated by this business I had been given, the revenues came to probably more than $64,000. 3 months more than $64,000. Did I see this coming when I signed that pledge card? No, I did not. Did I realize, even as I was saying yes, how lucrative this business was and how much it was going to mean to my struggling company? No, I did not. So fast forward a year later, we are completely self-financed. What that means is I'm no longer borrowing the money to pay my own salary. A year after that, we bought this building. We paid cash money for this building. And that was 7 or 8 years ago. It's 9 years ago. That's how long Mary's been working for me, 9 years. It's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing story. You might not believe it, but I'm real obedient about not lying. I don't lie. You'll never catch me in a lie. At the end of the day, this is the story that I have wanted to share with the people I share my life with every Sunday. It is the story I have wanted to share with anybody who would have an interest in listening. This is an amazing way to live. Now, Robert Morris talks about a life of generosity. You must read this book. You must absolutely, it is such a fascinating read, but you've got to read it. And then watch him. Just watch one sermon and put a face with who wrote this book. I want to be a blessing to the people that I am sharing my life with. And I cannot think of one single thing that I could sit up here in front of this little telephone camera. And there's not one thing I could tell you that could possibly be of any more value, except that God loves you. You're his favorite. I'm his favorite. And you're his favorite. I'm sitting here in an auditorium with all God's favorites. And if you're watching online, you need to know you're his favorite. He loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent his son. He sent his son to die a horrific death on the cross to save you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. The thing of it is, you've got to accept. It's a gift. I can give you this book, but you got to take it, or you won't have it. I'll still have it. I want to share with everybody the way to a blessed life is to start with Jesus. Accept his love, accept his gift. You won't immediately understand everything that you've done, but you'll want to. And that's where it starts. You'll want to. So, I think I could close right now by simply saying, Jesus loves you. Yes, I know. The Bible tells me so. Some are weak. We are weak. But he is strong. Jesus loves you. And so, all kind of blessings. There's all kind of blessings just waiting for you. Now, Tyler, is there anything else you would like to know about my blessed life?
I think you've summed it up and you've shared it. If you want to, will you grab that book really quickly? I just want to say, if you don't know Ruby, Ruby lives the blessed life. She's actually blessed me more than I could ever put into words. And I just want to say, for each and every person that's here today, because of that blessing, you are going to get a copy of The Blessed Life. And a challenge of this is, I want to say, and I will share with you more in person in a moment, but as Ruby just said, the one thing that you take from all of this is God's love. Am I right, Ruby? It's God's love. It's not about a number. Believe it or not, you can be generous without a dime and still show the love of God to everyone. And so what we want for everyone here at The Vine is to love, share the love of God, and also live the blessed life to a world that's searching for Him. So Ruby, thank you for sharing your story. About to come up on stage here in a moment and have a few more things for you, but everyone give Ruby a round of applause. I better hear cheering. Children better be dancing at this in the back. We're going to have fun. All right, I'm about to come up here and you get to see my smiling face in a second. Thank you, Ruby. We love you.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to see how Jesus continues to let us live the blessed life.
All right, well, Ruby's going to tell another story real quick, right? Is that? No, I'm so thankful. Y'all, once again, let's thank Ruby for, listen, you may not know many of those things, so I've got a million things I want to share with you. Number one, once again, every one of you today when you leave are getting the blessed life. Every one of you when you leave are getting the blessed life, because listen, Ruby has blessed me more than I know, or I could say. I can tell you so many blessings, but because of her generosity, because of your generosity, I wanted to make sure you had that in your hands. This isn't something that's coming from it is coming from the church. It's coming from us as a church, but because I've been blessed, I want that to go in your hands, and this is why. Many churches do that for capital campaigns. Many churches have the blessed life. I'm not standing up here. I don't want anything from you. The Vine Church isn't asking you to give a dollar amount. The Vine Church isn't asking you to go give to a building somewhere. God will provide that when He's ready. I just want you to live the blessed life. Ruby shared her story. Live the blessed life. And before I go on with that, we'll wrap up in Job in a second. But as you get older, you realize I'm so blessed to have family. But I love how in God's house, your family grows. Right? We're all family. And as I get older and I look back at my life and I would say, what would my dad want me to know? What would my mom want me to know? My grandmother want me to know, my grandfather. Give it all to the church. That's what's going to last. And that's why you hear me many times say, it's all for Jesus' glory. Because I will tell you, if I'm a quarter of the man my daddy was, it would be so beautiful. But I know he gave his life to the Lord and for the Lord. And so what I want you to do, what I want for you is to understand Jesus gave his life first for us. So we give our life away to him. And this blessed life that we get to live, guys, the world, stock market's crashing, oil's going up, energy bills going up. Thank God we have toilet paper. I'll keep saying that over and over again. Praise Jesus' name. Wherever you are, understand the world is searching for Jesus. And the most irrational thing you can do is show that things of this world will fade away and don't matter, but his love, Jesus' love, won't. And the best way to live your life is to give it all away. My Papa Hoggins used to say, ain't no U-Haul in heaven, because there ain't. Thank God. I would wreck it, probably. I'd jump a curb. If you know, you know. Happy 5 years. Hopefully we don't have to rent a U-Haul anytime soon. Anyway, so everyone's getting that. But also, listen, before we wrap this up. All of our littles, our Vine kiddos, are going to get this little board book. It's the gospel. See, the five-year anniversary, you're going to see this. Laugh at a card a little bit later. But five-year anniversary, Brittany helped me see this. Calls for wood. Listen, I'm not married. I don't know. Maybe one day, God willing, the creek don't rise. If I do get married, I'll have to figure out those anniversary gifts and what they're supposed to be. But a five-year anniversary calls for wood. There's wood in pages. I'm counting it. Take it. So in cardboard somewhere as well, there's paper. But in this board book, I want to tell you, it's a simple board book about the gospel. It's just something I want to challenge you. Start at Larkland's age. Keep doing that. I know my mom and dad did. Share this. It's the gospel. It's the best thing you could ever give them. The best thing you can give your kids. And I love that I'm able to be able to give, but I also love most of all that I can give you Jesus, because it's the one thing that has made the most difference in my life. So how do I want to wrap this up with us? I'm thankful for us. I'm thankful for 5 years. I'm not up here asking for anything. Like I said, we're not going to have a big we're not going to have a big moment where, I mean, we are looking for a Learjet. We're used, obviously. We're not vain. But, you know, we're not going to do that. Seriously. After you read the Blessed Life book, feel free to give it away to somebody else. Because I'm telling you, when this economy's flipping, the world's looking for the Blessed Life. They're going to think it's in a lottery ticket. And we get to share a story and say, hey, let me tell you who owns everything. Because when I couldn't see it in my bank account, he provided it. And that's why I want to wrap up today really quick on this irrational generosity. Job, really quick, the story of Job. If you don't know about Job, most of all, I want you to see this. If you don't know about Job, the first thing about Job is job. You need a job. I know someone. I'm just saying. I know someone who might be able to help you with a job. But Job, the story of Job, really quick. I want to read this last verses, and I want to wrap it up here. Job 42. You're going to see this up on the screen here. Basically, the life of Job is Job had all the riches, had all the blessing. Satan comes at, tells God, Job only follows you because you've blessed him. God says, take it all away. It's fine. But you can't kill Job, Satan. And Job is blessed. Many times you hear this in the church, has blessed twice as much at the end of his life, the second half of his life, as he was the first. But this is what I want to point out here. Job 42, verse 12 through 15 says this. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. Man. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Lean in on this. The first daughter he named Jemiah, the second Keziah, the third Karen Hapuch. Nowhere in all of the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. Really quick, this is how I want to wrap this up. See, Job's life is where many of us will be. Job's faith started with a faith of obedience. He said, I'm obedient to God because he blesses me. As long as everything's going right, I will follow God. It's a faith of obedience. And said, hey, if I keep doing this, I can't stop doing this because I know God won't bless me. Then he got to his second phase of his faith, was there's a faith of desperation. If you don't know the story of Job, what ends up happening is all of his family's killed. He loses all of, like, in a day. See, all of his kids are dead, loses all of his fortune in a day. He goes, his friends go and beat him up, say, hey, you must be having some kind of hidden sin, Job. Stop acting like you got it all together. I know you were giving offerings and sacrifices, but you haven't confessed something. But Job gets to the faith of desperation, where God is all he has, where God calls, as Ruby shared, when God says, 64 is your number. And you're just like, yeah, 64. Ooh, 64 cents a day. $64 a day? $64 a week? $64,000? So he gets and knows, well, God's the only thing I have. Job requests an audience with God. God says to Job, where were you when I formed the earth? I laid the foundation of the earth when I threw the stars in the sky. Where were you? And Job says, I have no words. See, some of us are in the faith of obedience, and we feel like we're not sitting in blessing right now. And God's bringing us to the faith of desperation, where we see that he alone is what we have. But you see, Job had one more step he had to take before he saw that second half of his life. The faith of sufficiency. What did that mean? Being in the presence of God was enough. Nothing in this world mattered. Being in the presence of God was enough. Being able to be face-to-face with God, what we were created to do, was enough. And that is when, all of a sudden, Job experienced the second half of his life, the blessing. But what I wanted you to lean in on is Job did not name his 7 sons. It was his 3 daughters that were named. And in Hebrew culture, we talked about this a little bit last week. We said Jacob and Esau, remember? Hey, there's the hairy red guy, and there's old Heels. So Harry and Heels, great detective team. Wherever you are, that is what they did. The Hebrew name mattered. His daughters were named after 2 musical instruments and a spice. Why? Because being in the presence of God was good enough. But the crazy irrational thing he did is he left his daughter an inheritance. Unheard of. They would tell him, you're throwing your money away. Why? Because Hebrew men only left their sons an inheritance. Because that's the way their name lived on. Their daughters did not get an inheritance because it would just go to their son-in-law. What good would that do? Yet Job gives his daughters an inheritance irrationally, saying, it ain't mine anyway. It's all God, so I'm going to give it all away. You see, church, that's the story of you and I. We're Job's daughters. We've done nothing to deserve an inheritance. We've done nothing right. And we don't even have the right name. Yet God, in his grace and mercy, through his son Jesus Christ, gave us an inheritance. Irrational generosity. Irrational. That is why we live that out at the Vine. That is why we live that out as a church. Because we want the world to see irrational generosity. We want the world to see that all of this will fade away. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he won't. And so that's what I want to lay before you today. Are you trying to get rich so that you can be generous? Or do you see that in Christ, through his generosity, through him and living the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, dying the death we deserve on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, and loving us enough not to stay dead but rose again on the third day? Can you see his irrational generosity, his mercy, and his grace is what actually makes you rich? And so today, would you consider Jesus? And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is why we do what we do each and every week. It's for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. We're going to say this prayer out loud. It's not the words of this prayer that will save you, but the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. It's not a faith of obedience where you just want to be blessed. It's not a, it needs to be a faith of desperation where you realize that Jesus is the only answer and you realize that being able to be a part of his family, being face to face with Creator God, the thing that you are searching for can only be found through Christ. It is faith, that kind of faith. So with every head bow and every eye closed, would you repeat these words after me? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you're watching online, you're listening throughout the week, or if you're in the house, on the count of three, if it's the first time you've ever confessed and repented of your sins and surrendered lordship of your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If you're watching online, would you leave us a comment and a raised hand? If you're listening throughout the week, would you shoot us a message in our Vine Church app or at hello@thevine.tv? Shoot us a text message, 864-680-5598. This is why we do that. Excuse me, it's 580-6698. Don't text that other number. They might send you something crazy. But 580-6698, this is why we want to celebrate that with you. It ain't about us getting anything from you. It ain't about us trying to send you a tithe envelope. It ain't about us trying to just get your information. We honestly want to get you plugged into the local church, because the local church around the world is the best family you could ever be a part of. And we want to help you take your next step in the Lord. So would you let us know that? And for the rest of us, we're about to worship. We're going to celebrate 5 years of God's faithfulness, but so much more. God has been faithful longer than 5 years, has he not? And he'll be faithful forevermore for the 5 billion to come. So as we worship and we celebrate his name, will we just worship him in thankfulness? Will we just lay everything down to him in this moment? Would you stand and sing?
eternal spark. I call you healer. You can mend any broken heart. I call you faithful Father. You finish everything you start. My soul was made to respond. I know you by a thousand names, and you deserve every single one. You've given me a million ways to be amazed at what you've done, and I am lost in wonder at all you do. I know you by a thousand names, and I'll sing them. The sun.